Back to another episode. My name is Lewis.
And I'm Caleb.
And this is the Sidecar Podcast.
This is it.
Sidecar Coffee Podcast.
Sidecar Coffee Podcast Project. Coffee Project. Coffee.
Number 14. Crazy.
That's
crazy.
That's
time.
That's weird.
This is summer sidecar. This is summer sidecar. Officially done with school, done with outdoor track. We can focus finally on doing this completely.
Yeah, doing it for real this time.
And
I'm done with school, period.
Caleb's
graduated.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
He's done it. He's gone and done it.
I did it.
So we're most definitely going to be focusing more on the sidecar.
Yeah, just more consistent uploads,
just
more content.
You know,
More resources.
Yeah, we won't have as much life to worry about and balancing things. I just wanted to apologize because, you know, for the past, I guess, like month, we've just not been as consistent as we wanted to, not putting as much content out. Focus on school and other priorities first.
Yeah, so. I mean, we just didn't realize how much the end of the semester would be busy for both of us. I guess we just thought it'd be more chill, especially since it was my last semester. I thought it'd be way more chill, but no, it's just as bad as all the other ones. Mm-hmm. So. But we're done.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys starting this with us, and we're going to continue
it
throughout the year. It's a content year.
We're getting bigger.
We're going to kill it. Speaking of things that Sidecar did, we did a pop-up.
Yeah.
For anybody that this is their first episode and you just randomly found this or it popped up, we did a pop-up.
Yeah, so if you don't know what a pop-up is, it's kind of just like...
Pop-up shop.
You just set up shop in a place that's not your shop. And it's just a good way of just cafe for a day. Think of it like that. So, yeah, we set up at our good friends at Spectrum Record Lounge.
Yeah, if you guys are like, what's Spectrum Record Lounge? Check out our last episode where we did an episode actually in their space at the shop. And it was really cool. It was Parker is in he's in two bands right now, I guess.
Yeah.
But he's a... very professional, and so it was cool. Like, we're just in my basement right now. I know.
Yeah, it was similar. Yeah. So
it was cool to have like.
Yeah, well, he also just has like experience setting up concerts and stuff. So it's like he had so much.
He knew what he was doing
and helped.
We
us
don't.
Out a lot. Yeah, we have no idea what we're doing.
So it was cool to have that experience.
And we sat around a table with couches and two chairs. It was super cool.
But yeah, so in this episode, we're gonna be talking about. That experience and what all we went through. We don't necessarily have like a set way of that we're going to go through it, but we're just going to kind of run you guys through, I guess, what was going on through our heads and how we set up things and why and what we served and just kind of talk about that to give you guys kind of an experience on, you know, what setting up a coffee menu is, our kind of like explanation on our service, like what we wanted our service to look like, and just kind of like introducing Cape Girardeau into specialty coffee and what kind of coffee can be and like being approachable. But first we're going to drink some coffee.
What are we drinking, Lewis?
This is a coffee from Hydrangea. I ordered this the week before we did the pop-up, so I was able to dial in these coffees the week before, but I also got a new espresso machine, guys. I finally got the Lillet Bianca V3.
He did.
And so I've been dialing that in. I got it the day I left for conference, so I've been gone for 3 days. And so I've only really had not that much time to kind of set up how I wanted shots to taste like, or even just like messing with pressure profiling and stuff. So this is a Colombia from Hydrangea. It is, I think it's Finca Indonesia. Finca La Indonesia from Nariño, Colombia. It is a Sidra from Frank Torres, fully washed. This is my second, maybe, because I've had two Sidra waves from Pepe. But this is my first Sidra from Colombia.
Same.
And it's been fantastic. I haven't tasted it as this espresso yet, but.
Yeah, I just took a sip of that.
Wow. It's so sweet.
It's super sweet, very light. There's like almost nothing going on.
I'm getting like, and
it's
cold.
So balanced.
It is cold.
There's nothing.
But I think it's floral.
You're right.
It's like white peach.
Or like honeysuckle-ish.
Mm-hmm. Honey, white peach. I think almost a little Tootsie Roll sweetness.
It's also like a sugar cube. Yeah. It's just sweet, but mm-hmm. there's not anything crazy.
I get like super light fruits, like that white peach, yeah. that green grape.
Very like nectarine.
Ish type peach. Yeah. This coffee has been beautiful on filter. I've only brewed it on espresso. This will be my second time brewing on espresso. And, you know, I think it turned out really good. Messing with the pressure on the Lillet, I've been doing a 15-minute kind of pre-infusion at, like, 2 bars and then going to full 9 till about I get around 45, and then I'll ramp down to around, like, 4-ish to 3-ish bars to finish off at 58. I'll pull the lever. But this one pulled a little fast, but I still think it turned out pretty good.
Sweet. Yeah, the milk beverage, I'm waiting for you to taste, but it honestly just highlights the peach.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's super peachy. Yeah, dude. Cough it up.
I just felt like I had something in my throat.
Bro, hairball.
Sorry. I'll edit that out.
It was... yeah, very peachy. A little, like... I don't know. Like custardy. That makes sense. Peach, yeah. custard. Vanilla. It brings out that honey floral, the honey and like the florality a little more. It the milk. I love when we get a coffee on that, like,
and the it's milk not sour.
Showcases the espresso better than the espresso. Just like it provides a vessel with all the.
It's peach cobbler esque with like
fats
some
and proteins just to.
Whipped cream on it?
Just to flow through. It does take just like whipped cream. That's getting edited out for sure. No diddy, man. Oh, come on.
This is my first time trying Hydrangea. It's a roaster out of California. They do really cool stuff. Caleb had 2 of their coffees last year. They've been kind of like,
yeah,
they popped up in the past year and just
we
got to
take those coffees out. They're still in my freezer. I want to try them. Oh. I just want to see what freezing does.
Sick. I have an Ilse Pepe that's still in my freezer as well.
Yeah, well, with freezing it, I just wanted to, like, see. I don't know. My goal was to put it in and forget about it, and that worked, obviously. Mm-hmm. I just remember now, and this was, like, it's back in January, December when I got those.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we'll have to see.
So, yeah, this coffee's good. Very happy with it. Check out Hydrangea. They do weekly releases, and they're pretty limited. A lot of people. So if you don't follow them on social media, you should. They work with a lot of really cool producers.
The owner
mostly
also,
like filter roasts for the most part.
Yeah, I would say so.
But again, like it tastes great on espresso.
Yeah, the owner also puts in a lot of work with the branding. It looks beautiful. It's cartoony. It's beautiful. Like it's just nice. Looks good.
Yeah, watercolor esque. I guess. Yeah,
it's almost like a Studio Ghibli movie and a coffee company.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, getting into the pop up, I guess let's talk about developing a menu. This is something that me and Caleb really focused on. We wanted to highlight some of our favorite roasters. Some of our more accessible roasters, I think we could have probably ordered from different European companies or Canadian companies. We try to keep it more local just for cheaper shipping.
Went into cheaper shipping, but also when we thought of roasters, we wanted one thing was bang for the buck. So like, if I'm spending $150 to $200 on a bag of coffee, being like a 5-pound bag, maybe free shipping, right? Yeah. Like it's so we were looking for that, but also we were looking for roasters that we thought did a really solid job at providing a menu that like their catalogs that were still approachable.
Mm.
Approachability was a big thing for us,
and we wanted also like a little bit of everything on the menu. You know, we wanted that. We had a an Ilse Supernova blend. That's what we chose to do on espresso.
Yeah,
we offered that as a shot of espresso, but also in all of our milk drinks. Mm-hmm. It was a blend. I think it's a Mexico and Ethiopia. It turned out fantastic. Like that is one of the best blends.
Yeah,
I think I've had ever. And it's nice. It's really chocolatey, but it still has that red fruit, mm-hmm. like cherry. Ness. And
it was
so it's like
dark chocolate and Luxardo cherries. through
and
the milk.
And everybody that ordered it on espresso, like, said, like, that was really, really good. So we got a lot of good feedback from that.
Which we'll touch on this later. Probably one of our best compliments, genuinely.
Yeah.
I think. We'll touch
especially
on that
with the way that it went. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which again, we'll talk about it later. I want to cover all the kind of coffees that we had first. So we had that Ilse Supernova blend. And then if you guys haven't seen the menu yet, check it out on our Instagram Sidecar Pod. It's on there. And so this will kind of make sense as we're explaining it. And so we had a single origin espresso, which was our Ecuador, Miraflores from Tandem, which was a washed, I can't remember the variety. Is it a CJ?
No. Was it Typica? Bourbon? Maybe Katura.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm literally
Typica, just Typica, oh. Kettlemore.
So when I said Typica, I did know what I was talking about.
I guess so.
This guy.
Yeah, that one turned out very good as well. I think with most Tandem coffees, Tandem's out of Portland, Maine. I tried them for the first time last summer, was blown away out of Pink Bourbon in Ethiopia, both fantastic. And yeah, so we ordered this Ecuador from them. I think we wanted an Ecuador on our menu just because.
I mean, they've been so solid.
It's been really, really solid. And also it just has like that South American profile, but still being like really fruity and sweet. And still approachable and not like too scary, I guess.
That's,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, that was just like in making the menu. It was like we just wanted one, things needed to be approachable, but two, it couldn't be too offensive taste wise, because if you hand somebody a
more traditional.
Yeah, it still had to be pretty traditional, just with the crowd of Cape Girardeau.
Yeah.
Just not having yet been exposed. And so, but we did have
but
some
it's
other
still
options
like a little
well.
Step in. It's like a
little dabble.
Yeah.
Foot in the water.
After that. And so we also had a Ethiopia honey. I can't even pronounce the name, but
Little Wolf.
From Little Wolf. It's like,
solid roaster.
A X something rather. Yeah. We love Little Wolf. Yeah. I don't think, that was my first order from them, but I've gotten multiple of their coffees from Comet out of St. Louis because they wholesale from them.
Yeah, that's right.
So we've had, you know, six probably of their coffees ever, but this was my first time ordering actually off their website.
Oh, yeah. I had ordered from them a few times. I think most of the stuff that
they're
gotten,
really cool. They're out of the Northeast.
Yeah,
I can't remember the exact state. Maybe
Massachusetts.
But
it is Massachusetts because, fun fact, Dayglow uses their roastery.
Wow.
Boom.
But
the
besties. Their coffees are insane. And they're honestly, what me and Caleb have found, like, their coffees are great on filter, but I think they're even better on espresso.
Yeah. Oh, well, and it's also like I think they do the best Ethiopias. Like, besides like DAC and like maybe Hatch, some of our best Ethiopias have been from Little Wolf.
Yeah.
Ones that were like, oh my God, that just pushes what we think of, like, I don't know. Usually when I think Ethiopia, I'm thinking back to like that just blueberry forward.
I think Brandywine was the first Ethiopia that I was like, holy crap.
Really?
But I also don't really. Yeah. But yeah, no, I agree. Little Wolf does a really, really good job. And we just we wanted to have an African coffee in there. So we went with a honey Ethiopian. I think it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was tasting. Everything was so dialed in that day. Like,
which is crazy because we didn't dial it in.
Yeah,
it was just
we
messed around like a week before, like testing all the drinks.
Okay, well, we did have things dialed
in. And so we had rough estimates, but not the day of.
That's
we did
true.
Not
we
dial
did not
anything
dial
in
day
the
of.
Day of.
Yeah.
But everything pulled sort of perfect, thankfully.
Yeah. And then we also had on the menu further down in our hand brews, we were offered this awesome.
And so we had the
Chiroso from Colombia.
Yeah.
From Prodigal.
We also had the same Tandem coffee and Little Wolf
and
coffee
Little Wolf on hand brew.
On hand brews, which we did. We did an Oreo hand brew. And then for the, like Caleb was talking about, we had a anaerobic Chiroso?
Yeah, wash anaerobic Chiroso from Colombia, from Prodigal Coffee Roasters, and they're insane. Everything they release.
If you guys want to get into like a coffee that's just gonna blow your socks off, anything on Prodigal's menu.
Yeah, well, this one also, it was really cool. So the taste descriptors were lemongrass, pineapple, and pretty. And we had never seen anyone describe a coffee as pretty, but it made so much sense.
It made so much sense.
It was so, like, vibrant and fruity, acidic.
Fragile, like.
Also very fragile, because if you over-extracted it, even a tad. Like,
battery acid.
Yeah.
And not even on espresso. Like, even.
No, yeah. Well, and it's also, like, that was the coffee I think I was most scared about, because it was so delicate. Like, you really had to do everything perfectly. Luckily, both brews of it were very, very good. So, and then we also had a specialty section.
Yeah, we had four specialty drinks. You want to run through them?
Yeah. So, first up, we had just a sparkling Americano, which we had just some LaCroix sparkling water. LaCroix. Sparkling water, and topped with espresso, and then we gave people the option of an orange slice in it, orange wedge.
Yeah, just to add a little. If you guys have never had a sparkling Americano, if you have like LaCroix or Liquid Death, honestly, like really anything.
Because even the flavored ones are super good too.
Yeah, it's a really interesting, cool way. You were like, I know, normal Americano is pretty good, but then you add like sparkling water in there. It's like, whoa, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, bubbly.
What's going on? Party in my mouth, dude. I prefer that over an iced Americano. So it was just like,
it just adds something a new element.
And it was like,
it lets you play around with like just different things. I don't know.
People love cold brew. And so we didn't want to just serve cold brew. And so we were like, let's do an iced Americano, but then make it fun.
Right. Also, I'm not a huge fan of cold brew. I've kind of gotten out of it. I would much rather have an iced coffee, like a flash brew, mm-hmm. just because the acidity in it. Cold brew doesn't have any acidity, so I'm just like.
It's also just all of them kind of have like the same cold brew taste, but then obviously the characteristics of the coffee that you put in there will change
a little,
it. But they still all have this like thick,
very thick syrupy chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah. Regardless of the coffee you put in there.
And then we had. This one was actually super fun to come up with. It was the Sprojito. And so going through it, we kind of wanted to do some sort of like cocktail riff, but do a mocktail with coffee. And so
our
brains kind of went to, I don't remember how we ended up trying this juice.
It was our first time at the International Grocery Store. And we were just like, we're just going to get a bunch of cans and try random
juice.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And this Guanabana juice.
Guanabana juice, which is just soursop juice.
Yeah.
It's just sweet.
It's really just sweet.
It's like if an apple, pear, plum, and grape got together, had a baby, and made juice. That's what it was. It was super good. And we just wanted to.
We didn't want to make a simple and put that in a drink, but we wanted something sweet mm-hmm. that would pair well with this Ecuador. That's what we put in it.
Yeah.
And so
it was this few ounces of this juice, some lime juice, and then a few sprigs of mint thrown in, shaken with ice, served over ice, served with a lime wheel garnish. And it was awesome.
Tandem espresso.
With the tandem espresso, yeah. The Ecuador, which the Ecuador, like.
It works so well in there.
It's like slightly fruity, but it's more.
It's more floral.
It's so balanced.
It's floral, sweet, brown sugar.
It's very well rounded. Yes. I think so. It really is non offensive, but also like different.
Yeah.
And it complements everything.
Yes.
And so the fact that it was able to go with soursop juice, lime juice, and mint and be insane. There's a good friend of ours named Zay. Shout out Zay. That he tried it and I didn't expect him to like it. I don't know.
If you're not really into specialty coffee, like trying a mocktail for the first time is like, you don't know.
You have no idea what's going
to
happen.
Because it's like ordering an espresso tonic. I feel like it takes an acquired taste to.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and then, but he said it was his favorite drink on the menu. And I was like, really? He was like, yeah. I was like, I thought you would like one of our other drinks, but it was just cool because he was like, it's something so different, so unique, and like it tastes amazing. I would have never thought to put fruit juice with coffee. And it's like,
That's another thing with the espresso lemonade. A lot of people ordered that, and we did the Little Wolf Ethiopia with just Milo's lemonade.
Just Milo's lemonade.
And
shout out Milo.
The first time I tried this was at Picasso's in St. Charles. They have lemonade and cold brew.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first time experience with like coffee and lemonade. And if you guys have never tried that,
it's a good combo.
You should try it.
Yeah, just try it. Espresso on lemonade, or
most of your local coffee places will have a matcha lemonade. And if they have a matcha lemonade, they have lemonade. So just ask them to put a shot of espresso in lemonade.
Or just walk in and ask if they, or bring a bottle of lemonade in.
Yeah,
and
or even just buy it. Hey, yeah, can I have a shot of espresso and put it in there?
Yeah. So then
it
next
was
up
delicious.
On our,
a lot it of was people good, yeah. like randomly ordered that and were like, dude,
what? It,
I would like, not have thought this was so good.
Yeah, and another thing we can touch on later. It was scary because like they're spending money on it and I didn't want them to hate it.
Yeah.
But then they all loved it, and I was like, this is great. But so then next up on the list for our specialty drinks was we called it Kush in the Swisha. It's a Lil Wayne lyric. We were just kind of like
– We wanted to have flamed rosemary just to add, like
– Yeah.
Intensify the aroma of rosemary, but also have, like, a burnt, ashy, like – something to bring out the cardamom, because we did a caramel cardamom syrup. We knew we wanted to do a caramel cardamom syrup.
And we made the caramel and cardamom sauce. Like, we made that.
Yes.
Used cardamom.
All of the syrups we made.
Yeah, everything
homemade.
We did. So
all the pastries we made homemade. We had pastries as well, but we're not really going to talk about that. Right now, we're just going to talk about coffee.
So
but.
Caramel cardamom latte with a smoked rosemary or a flame torched rosemary garnish. It was really good. I remember
that was our most popular drink.
Oh, for sure. That's the one that we sold the most of. I think we sold like
30?
40 something of them. It was like that. And I was like, I don't even remember serving that many of them, but we did. And then next up, we had a matcha drink. We had to bring in some matcha. So it was.
But it's unfortunately, you know, we only had three people order it. But
yeah.
You never know.
I
think
people,
matcha really isn't approachable, but. You know, some people.
I thought more people would like it. I mean, there's just a lot of matcha drinkers that come into my work, so it's just like, was like, okay, this area likes it. But I think everybody wanted to experience what we had to, what our version of coffee, right? And so then, so it was matcha, just you know, with water. We had the matcha whisk. We were doing that in front of everybody. It was cool. Some coconut cream, the same stuff that bars use, and then.
Oat milk. We thought it made it like a little bit more creamy, blended with the coconut better.
Yeah, and then we did the garnish was a spritz on top, and it was a rum and nutmeg spritz.
Mm-hmm. Just to add some nice aromatics, yeah.
Yeah, it added super good aromatics. And
honestly, that was one of my favorite drinks, but yeah, it just wasn't that popular.
No, yeah.
Matcha
is just one of those things, like you'll get, I mean, at work, we'll get like, I won't serve a matcha for like, 2 days and then one random day get 10 in a row and you're like, where are these people coming from? But
matcha convention.
But yeah, so that was it for our specialty section, and I think the most popular one was the Kush and the Swisha, which is really nice. It's really cool.
It's a fun drink. I think it's a cool play on, like, it's not just like a sweet caramel latte. It has that cardamom in there. It's cool with the rosemary. It was just like something fun that we could do that. I think, like, the people that normally would just get a caramel or vanilla latte, like, they got to experience that, and hopefully that was interesting to them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I think it was. I think it went really well. Everybody that got it turned around as they were walking out the door was like, oh my God, this is great. And then walked out the door. I was like, thank you. Like,
and
that's
so
awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And
we
so
had,
that,
well, and then in our default section is what we called it. We had batch brew. We had a Brandywine coffee on there.
Brandywine Mexico. Yeah. Something Solis. Yeah.
Dude, that one, I think it's like Ivan Solis.
Yeah.
Dude, that coffee's insane on batch. It's super marshmallowy. It says like boysenberry on there or gooseberry. It's insane. And then we served espresso, a single origin espresso.
Clementine Solis.
Yeah.
From Mexico.
And
fantastic.
Then, yeah, just a wash Mexico, super good. And then we had some milk beverages as well. Kind of how we set it up was we offered a cortado. We offered a sidecar, obviously, and then we offered a 10-ounce hot latte and a 10-ounce iced latte, And then we did something I thought was actually pretty clever on our part. We did a batched latte. So we took cold brew concentrate, oat milk, and we made a vanilla bean syrup. And we just put that all together. It was in like three different Cambros. And we just, when someone said, I want a batch latte, we just poured that over. I served it to him. It was very, very nice to do.
And it was like, it was still really good. Like that vanilla syrup insane. Turned out great.
Yeah, we still have some left. LOL. Lewis just opened his little mini fridge.
anyway. Still some in there. that was actually really popular too. But
yeah, we served a lot of those. And it was just, which was really nice because it's like, yeah, the line was long. It took a little bit more time than, like, say, a cafe, right? But honestly, nobody waited too terribly long, I don't think.
No.
Except for, like, our first two people. But yeah. We'll get to that. And then the people that didn't, you know, they didn't want anything crazy, they saw that and they were like, yeah, let's do that. But it was made with oat milk so that anybody could get it, you know, and not, I can't be like, oh, no, sorry, it's only done with whole milk.
Yeah.
It's like, no, oat milk, so now everybody can drink mm-hmm. it. Then we had espresso lemonade. It was fire.
And that's our whole menu. And I think it went really well. I don't think there was a single person like, I think the problem was most people were like, I don't know which one to get. Yeah. I don't think anyone was like, I don't have any choice here, you know? And
yeah,
we also had a transparency report on our drinks. So you could see how much we paid for everything in the drink. And,
So we wrote out a whole thing of every coffee that we had, how much we paid for that coffee plus shipping, and just to write out like, hey, this is why we're not like we were charging an insane amount. We were still in the $6-7 range for our specialty drinks, and then batch brew was only $2, and then espresso was $3, and then cortado sidecar, all that fun stuff was $3.
And you can see the prices on our social media.
Yeah,
as
it
well.
Was like $3 or $4. So we were in the $2 to $7. That highest drink was $7. And but we still were like, okay, $7 is still a lot. And we were only serving 10 ounces, just make it a little more special. And it was just a good way for people to realize what they're paying for, what their money's going to.
Yeah, we just wanted to have that just to see, like, we're not just two kids trying to make money because there's money in the coffee industry. Wow, you can make so much money. But yeah, we just kind of wanted to show that. And so people knew that we weren't scumbags just trying to take the money. No. Going throughout the day, me and Caleb got up at the bright and early. So for this event, I really wanted to do pastries. For anybody listening that doesn't really know me that well, I am a cook at heart. I very much love
a good cook too.
I very much love cooking and baking. And so I really wanted to showcase and low-key challenge myself with this pop-up. And I think I did exactly that. I worked on recipes for pastries, started the week before, dialed in, did croissants for the first time.
Literally the first time you ever made croissants, and they were beautiful.
They turned out pretty good.
Is no pretty good. Like, they were professional. But like this isn't just me, like, saying, like, because you're my friend. Like, they were professional grade. They were insane.
Started three batches of croissants. I did regular croissants. We did almond croissants. We did a pistachio baklava roll. We did cheese blueberry Danish, and then I did cinnamon rolls. That was our whole pastry menu.
It was insane. Those were gone within the first hour and a half. Everything.
Yeah. Which I'm so thankful. Like, anybody who came in and is listening to this episode, like, truly, from the bottom of our hearts, like,
genuinely,
our reactions from this pop-up is just, like, the people that showed up that waited at max, like, 45 minutes, I think, the longest someone told me that they waited.
Yeah, and that's just because the line was so long.
And, like, I think that's just, it's really cool to see that support from people that we had, you know, like, going into this, me and Caleb were like, I hope we can... Like, I just hope people show up. That was all we were worried about. Making a profit. We weren't worried about, like, selling out of coffee. We weren't worried about anything. We just wanted people to show up when we wanted to provide an experience for people. You know, that was this whole point of this.
We spent, like, frivolously. We really didn't care. We just wanted to put a lot of things on a menu. We wanted to impress everybody.
Not that we were seeking.
But I wanted, whenever people walked in,
To see
who are these
two
guys?
College kids
doing
can
the thing.
Do this.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So there's no excuse for any other business or like anything else that
cafes,
you know what I'm
like,
saying.
Like, why are we not trying harder?
Let's hold people accountable. Yeah, yeah. It's not if two people can do this while working
full time.
Me part time, but yeah, and like
and
being in college
and
having
full-time, yeah.
Yeah. So a little flex on our part, but come on, guys, wake up, wake up, industry, wake up.
Pat right. ourselves on the back a little bit.
But yeah, so we woke up at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah. after, so the night before.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
So the night before, we actually did a collab cocktail menu with Spectrum Record Lounge, where we did some coffee riffs on some drinks. We had a sidecar that we did. So a sidecar is
the
brandy,
sidecar cocktail,
gin.
Yeah,
it's just the sidecar cocktail. Which is brandy, gin, and lemon juice. So we did a coffee-infused brandy with gin, lemon juice, and we called it the sidecar sidecar.
With that coffee was infused with a Guatemala from Brandywine.
Yeah.
Which was perfect for
it
that
was
drink.
So insane. I can't even explain how incredible
I really
these drinks
think
were.
That was most definitely like top three cocktails I've ever had. Maybe even two, like top two, because that other one Parker had, like, that was insane. But
yeah, Parker and Travis are just insane.
They're wizards.
Like, they're wizards behind the bar.
No, I think everybody that works there is a wizard.
That's true. Courtney's insane too.
Courtney's insane too.
Yeah. So then we also they did
tiki drink.
Yeah,
I forget.
I
can't remember
Destination
their name.
Oasis.
Yeah.
Was that called? Where
I don't even remember what all was in there. It
yeah,
was like
I don't
six
even remember.
Different things.
Yeah, it was like pineapple juice, orange juice, rum, coconut rum. Cold brew concentrate and some other stuff.
And that was with the first batch prodigal.
Yeah, cold brew concentrate. It was really good. And then we did espresso martinis for an hour. It was the first and only time that Spectrum Record Lounge has done espresso martinis, and we were honored to be the ones
and
to
we,
provide that.
Yeah, that was insane.
That was super cool.
We did 39 espresso martinis in an hour.
In an hour. Yeah, it was nuts. Which
it was so cool.
It was such a good environment to be in. The energy in that bar. When Parker went to the front and was like, hey, guys, these guys are from Sidecar. We're going to do espresso martinis for an hour. So if you want an espresso martini. And like when he said that, everybody was like, oh! Like just hearing all these people go, oh, my God. And it was like, I knew it. Like I just turned around. I was like, better start pulling shots because we're about to get a lot.
Yeah. And so we used.
But it was so cool.
We used Caleb's DS64. We used the Rocket Apartamento. We used my Sculptor. 78S, and we use the Ode for batch brew. We use my 78S for the single origin espresso, so the Tandem and Little Wolf espresso. We also used it for all of the pour overs that we did, but we only had three pour overs, so we didn't really even have to really worry about that. But yeah, my grinder did a great job. Caleb's grinder, besides, like, once it warmed up, I had to change it a little bit, but
yeah, that's just
I don't think it ever tasted bad.
Mm-mm, never.
It never pulled crazy, so.
Yeah. So that's I guess that's the next thing is, like, setting up. So we got.
So the next day, yeah. So that night went no problems that night. The worst thing that happened is that last shot, we ran out of coffee. So it's like, and we didn't want to go into our coffee the next day because I didn't know how many shots we were even going to have.
That
we could have, absolutely. But we didn't have to. We used the first batch from Prodigal that Caleb just thankfully had.
Yeah,
and then,
I ordered a kilo of that, and so I had like half a kilo left, so we had a lot.
And so we also used the rest of the guat that was infused in the brandy we
and
had.
Those
like
espresso martinis,
150
though,
left.
Those espresso martinis. I'm not a huge espresso martini fan. I'm really not, genuinely. I just think every time I'm at a bar, they're either really bitter or really sweet.
It's the coffee liqueur people use. Like, I don't think people realize how important that is, but
yeah,
it makes a big difference.
And
as well, obviously, as the coffee.
The espresso, yeah. So, but that espresso martini that I had there was insane. Yeah, it was so good. It was super good, super balanced, and it was so coffee forward too, and that was awesome. We had a lot of people come up to me and they were like, I'm not a big coffee drinker, but like this has more coffee than a usual espresso martini or that I can taste. And this is really good. I like it. Like the espresso you're using is fantastic. And I'm like, yes, it was awesome.
A little step into the specialty industry, man.
Yeah. And then so we were there till about midnight.
I left at like 10, started the pastry I started the Danish dough.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I'm just going to do everything else in the morning.
And we did.
Ew.
Yeah. It was a lot.
3:30 in the morning.
3:30 a.m.
I pulled it's just, I'm not even going to go through everything that we did, but it was baking from 4 a.m. to 8:50.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah, and for I you, didn't even I finish. I had to drop off the danishes at my girlfriend's house so she could put them in her oven and then bring them.
Space. Yeah.
And then she had to bring them, I guess, like at like 9:30-ish maybe. Yeah.
Then we got there. The biggest concern was that, and this was from Parker, the owner, that we just needed to set everything up in a way that it wasn't going to blow a fuse, right? Because it's a lot of equipment, a lot of heat, a lot of things that require heat. So then, you know, it's pulling more electricity. And so we were testing out things. We didn't blow a fuse. And then we were about to test things out. We were getting everything on. And then 9 o'clock hit.
And just people started walking in.
And we had a line of 20 people. And it didn't stop for 3 hours.
Yeah. And so me and Caleb didn't have time to – we set out the pastries. And
I was mid-setting up pastries when people walked in.
I was trying to brew the first brew – the batch brew. And we didn't even get to dial in espresso. We didn't – we just went. And luckily, espresso pulled perfect. I think – and what I've been telling people is that it was a shit show that worked out. Because
it was the most well-organized shit show I think I'd ever been a part of. It wasn't a shit show in the way that things went wrong.
Yes.
It was just very chaotic because we just didn't
We didn't have time to set up. We didn't know how many people were going to come.
This is how crazy it was. I didn't even know if the Square payment was going to accept a payment. I had no idea because I hadn't set up a bank or anything to it. Because I had heard like, it'll hold it for you, but I was like, I don't know if that's true or not. But it did. Luckily, Square is good, and it worked. And I was like...
Yeah, that's the POS we use just because all the other ones, you really have to kind of, like, pay a fee.
Yeah, and Square was literally free, did everything free, and they took only, like, 1.25% of payments at the end of it when I pulled things out. I was like, that's insane.
And we're also both used to Square. I'm personally used to Square. I don't know what you guys
use. No, we use Revel. Square.
Anyway.
I like Square. It's very easy to set up. The back end's nice.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of that. We started and it ended, and I don't really remember a lot from it.
It was really cool. Caleb picked up POS, and because I didn't really know how he set everything up, and I was just at the machine when Caleb started taking orders. So
it's like we gotta get
I just
out.
Stayed at the machine.
Yeah, whatever got cranked out. That's all.
I think. My personal experience, I think it went well. I think the one thing that we struggled with was consistency, because I think it was like not knowing. First of all, the caramel cardamom syrup was way too thick.
Oh,
and so that was
God.
The worst part.
Dude, it was literally.
That was the worst, like dispensing this syrup. And this is all things like you would not think about.
Mm-mm.
But
we didn't.
Because we didn't. If we ever do this again.
We had to leave it in a hot water bath
and
the entire time.
And it's still like you would have to squeeze the crap out of it to get it out of this bottle that we didn't even use at first. We were trying to pour it out of the container we brought it in, and it
was
not
going. Yeah, it was.
We had a mic. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was. Thank you, God, for Parker.
That they had a microwave.
Because Parker was running back and forth.
Parker was helping us out a lot.
He was like, do you need ice? We were like, oh, yeah, we should have gotten that. He filled up our ice cooler. And then he was like, okay, what do you guys need now? Can we get a bucket of hot water to set this caramel in. Yep, he went and got it. And he was just awesome. Very helpful.
Yeah, shout out
Parker, after it was just like, I was like, what, did you guys have fun over here? He was like, yeah, watching you guys. And I was like, did you guys not serve any drinks? And he was like, nobody came up here. They were all here for you. And I was like, that's super cool.
Yeah. It was just chaotic. Like, we didn't have, I guess, this table that we were working on, like, organize it all. So it was like, we didn't really have anything to pour our milk into. We didn't have anything to dose beans out with.
Things were still
packed. We didn't have a cutting board.
And I was like, bro.
We didn't have a cutting board.
Things were still packed in totes. And I was like, dude, like, I can't even get to things right now.
No.
It was crazy.
We didn't know. Yeah.
Because we just didn't know. I had no idea that people were going to be on time, which was awesome.
And thankfully, people were patient. It
very,
sucked
very
seeing,
generous.
You know, we saw like 3 or 4 people.
A few people.
See
left.
A long line and leave. And so that hurts because it's like, I want to be efficient enough to serve everybody. But it happens.
It happens.
I'm not going to complain about being busy. But
no.
I think, just being And it's like, you're not going to know. It was an awesome, I'm so thankful for it. It challenged us. It was an experience that I think I needed to have and I'm so grateful that I had. And to do it in Cape Girardeau especially, I think is really cool to see those people that you don't really even know but that came to support you. I think is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And also just like our first thing kind of representing me and Caleb's, you know, not that Sidecar is a LLC or a brand, mm-hmm. but it's something that me and
just
Caleb,
please don't take it.
That's something that me and Caleb put together and something that I think represents both of us and our insights in this coffee industry, and that we got to actually put into a menu in a space and do in collaboration with Spectrum, which is another amazing, again, please go check out our last episode.
Yeah, seriously. Their story is incredible.
And so something that I'm really, really grateful that we had, and I know we're saying like I think it went really well. I think everything that we did represented us. And I think, you know, I would just change small things in just the flow of
and
service.
And looking back at it now, it's like the things that I would change are so minuscule that even if we didn't change them next time, it wouldn't affect anything.
No. It was like our bar looking cluttered. It's like, I don't like that. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't like when people look behind. And also because it was so easy for people to see behind.
Yeah. That was just the one thing I was thinking about the whole time. I was like, dude,
this looks like a messy. Yeah. And all I was running through my brain was like food safety. Cause it's like,
which we weren't breaking any, no one got sick.
We're not doing anything
really gross.
We did nothing wrong. We did nothing gross. It just looked weird. Like, I don't know. We weren't doing anything weird, but like in my eyes, if I walked in and saw a bar looking like that, I'd be like, but we didn't do anything. It was just cluttered because there was just nowhere to put anything.
We
just had so much stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, and we still have a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So we also we have leftover coffee. The one thing. So yeah, we worked on those pastries all morning and we sold out of pastries. And that's like the one thing in the back of my head that I was like, if we do one thing today, I would love to just sell out of the pastries. And so
the croissants went nuts.
The croissants, the almond croissants, and the cinnamon rolls were out.
Gone. We had like
they didn't stand a chance.
Two baklava rolls and four Danishes left, and we still sold those right at the end. Yeah. So
really thankful for anybody that came out. I think it turned out awesome. It was just such a cool experience, and to do it with Spectrum is awesome. And I think we're definitely gonna do another one. So keep your eyes posted. We might even do a couple more.
Yeah.
With Spectrum, that's something he was like, dude, let's do this every month. Okay, dude.
And then going back to like, I think one of the coolest things was going back to the espresso compliments. The fact that people were like, this is the best espresso I've ever had. And I'm like, we're on a maybe not rinky dink to some people, but in my eyes, it's a little rinky dink to use a DF64 and a Rocket Apartamento for a cafe setup. And the fact that people were saying it's the best espresso they've ever had.
And it's just cool to see, awesome. Like, not a lot of places offer single origin espresso. And to see, I think we had maybe 8 orders of espresso martini.
And when we asked, like, do you want the blend or do you want, like, one of the single origins, they always ask for the single origin. And I was like, that's super cool.
But we still had, like, 3 or 4, I think.
The Supernova, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, Tandem, we had a little bit more of, but I think next time putting that little, like we had Little Wolf dialed in for espresso, we should have just put it on there. But we also didn't want to run out. We had no clue how much.
We didn't know what was
going to happen. Know if we were going to have like a lot of hand brews. And so we wanted to save that for the hand brews. But
it also was insane on filter. Like the Earl Grey and liminess of that coffee was insane. But yeah, I don't know. It was just like, this is one thing that I took away from it. And it's the fact that for me, coffee has not been exciting in a long time. It hasn't been intimidating. I think starting Sidecar and starting the podcast has been super fun, but it's a different side in the industry. It's not customer facing serving. And that part has not been exciting or intimidating for me because I feel like I felt like I've done it all, right? And I've been in it for so long that like really nothing surprises me anymore. But doing the pop-up made it exciting again, and I was like, it was so refreshing because I was just like, coffee has not been challenging in a little bit for me. And part of it's just because I haven't had time to really venture out and push myself to learn other things that are popping up in the industry. But most of it was because, like, where I work, I've been there so long that it nothing shocks me anymore. I can tell you when the rush is going to start, when it's going to end. And that's kind of it. There's nothing shocks me. And when I walk in, I just know that whatever challenge pops up, it's not really even a challenge. Like, I'll just fix it. It's fine. But like, it, I don't know.
Flex. All right.
I don't know. I just like, I've just done it for so long.
Yeah. You know, what's going to happen. You're comfortable
for a while. Yes. I've been very comfortable, which I'm grateful for. And, but also I've been, bored, I think, just bored. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you do something for 3 years.
Yeah, I just been bored of and have had to go out of my way to make coffee exciting, right? And so coffee is now exciting again with Sidecar and the pop-up. And there's definitely an untapped part of the market here in Cape, at least, that I hope we can showcase as best as possible. We're not staying in Cape, I don't think. I know we're not. But I will take all the small town love while I can.
Yeah.
And give back in any way, because these people
are, I think, introducing nice. Anybody into, especially coffee, I think is, you know, our job.
Yeah.
This is an industry that we really enjoy. And I think, you know, what we do, and, you know, especially like in Sidecar, but not only, we want to bring as much people into seeing how beautiful coffee can be.
Yeah.
And what coffee really truly is, I think. And being able to do that in a small town that wouldn't really see it otherwise, I think is really special. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we will most definitely be planning to do at least one more before Caleb graduates. I think we're going to try to do a couple more.
Hopefully. Before I graduate. All right, graduated.
Or
before I leave.
Before you leave. We're most definitely going to do a couple more. And yeah. I have a machine now, so we're going to have a little bit better workflow.
Two machines. That's going to be awesome. Yeah, and also, like, it just kind of, if you're out there and you're listening and you're in a small town that you think, and whatever it is, what, you know, but it doesn't just have to be coffee. You think people don't care and that people have no interest in the craft of whatever you're interested in. Just know that there's probably people out there that are interested in going further and deeper into whether
they just
it be cooking or coffee. There's just no vessel.
They need an outlet. Yeah.
Yeah. They need an outlet for it. And there's no place to open them to that. So you could be the one to do it. Not trying to say that we're super cool guys or we did a really crazy awesome thing, but
we did, though.
We did, yeah. It was a cool thing. It was very cool. And I think it was just like, it's so rewarding to have been focusing and like driving ourselves in coffee for so long and to finally be in a point where we're like, we can share this with people and we know that we're a pretty good resource.
Hopefully.
Know? Hopefully.
Trying to be.
Trying
and
to be.
And honestly, this pushed us to be better. You know
better
what I'm saying?
Every
so,
time.
And that's, you know, the point that I want to do it again. You know, I want to keep getting better. I want to keep pushing myself. And honestly, for me, like, not being in a bar space for 2 years, this was really fun.
you know? I bet. Yeah.
This was really fun to me. I was like, I want to be on this machine. I want to pull some shots.
Yeah,
I
knew that. I literally was like, in my head, I was like, I'm just going to let him pull all the, make all the drinks, except for like batch latte and sprojito. Like, there, we definitely had a flow get going.
We randomly,
we didn't talk
about how the flow was going
espresso,
to be, but we really just,
I was like, the espresso machine's his today. Like, I work on a bar every week. So, like, I just want
to
talk to people.
Yeah, it was really fun to be back on the bar. And I think for us, we were like, making sure to not just get caught in the flow of service. I think, you know, anybody that came, we wanted to say, like, have a conversation with, make some jokes with, talk about their drink with them.
And then say thank you.
And say thank you for coming and waiting. And, you know, yes, some of our close friends came, but it was also, we had a couple of people just walk in.
There were a lot of people there that I didn't know. And that was very exciting.
Yeah, it was cool. And, you know, making sure to say, like, this is Sidecar. This is us. This is what coffee. This is the coffee that we're serving.
This is what coffee can be.
And I think that was cool. And, you know, like, having that, not just this is a service thing, but making it more personal, I think. Yeah. And I think we did a good job of that. You know, it was hard, especially like
Yeah.
I want to pump these drinks out and I'm stressed out, but also yeah, like, at the
obviously
same time,
I want
like,
things to come out fast, yeah. But if it's not going to come out good, then it shouldn't come out at all. So
yeah. And it's an experience. So it's like, I should be a part of this and I want to make it better. So being personal.
Yeah.
Intentional, dude.
Intention.
And I think we did that.
But yeah. And now we have more time. So we're going to focus on things. We're going to hopefully do more pop-ups, but we're also going to put more content out for you.
Yeah, for sure.
If
guys.
You are out there and you can't make it to one of our pop-ups because you don't live anywhere near Missouri, that's fine. Like,
yeah, well, we're most definitely going to put some content out there. We're going to be doing some brew guides soon.
Yep.
I'm going to be showing off my new Bianca, most definitely for you guys, and talking about pressure profiling.
Who's Bianca?
Talking about like all these things. and yeah, we got some cool stuff on the horizon, some things cooking up, brother.
On the horizon.
On the horizon. Yeah, and thank you guys for doing this, listening and supporting us. And if you were able to come to our pop-up, thank you so much. If you weren't,
thank you.
Still thank you so much. Because we wouldn't really, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. Give our last episode a listen. The guys over at Spectrum Record Lounge are awesome. And remember that everybody is cool at Spectrum Record Lounge. And everybody is cool with Sidecar Coffee Pod.
But mostly just Spectrum Record Lounge.
But mostly, yeah. We're not as cool as them.
No. We're trying, though.
Yeah.
We're a little bit of posers.
Are we going to turn this off? This is done. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah, see you guys.
Yep. Next week.
Bye. Oh, shit.